In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. No matter where we are, we must aspire to a perfect life. These are the words of our dear patron, St. Francis de Sales. And this is the spirituality which we bring to all our apostolates, firm in the conviction that perfection, or the devout life, is in the reach of anyone who strives to love the holy will of God. And we must all aspire to perfection. The amiable St. Francis de Sales penned those words 400 years ago. He was the Catholic Bishop of Geneva at a time when Calvinism had made enormous inroads in that part of Europe. So much so that he was obliged to hold his seat in the neighboring French town of Annecy. He was nevertheless deeply respected by Catholic and Protestant alike for his personal holiness and his ability to touch the souls of everyone he met. In his immortal Introduction to the Devout Life, translated into over a dozen languages in his lifetime, St. Francis wrote, "It is an error, a heresy even, to want to banish the devout life from the company of soldiers, the shops of artisans, the courts of princes, and the homes of married people. No matter where we are, we must aspire to a perfect life." What is perfection? St. Francis de Sales explains that leading a devout life and aspiring to perfection does not mean going through life without the slightest fault, nor does it mean making up for faults with additional prayers and penances. The spiritual life, whether it goes by the name of devotion, holiness, or perfection, consists entirely in a great love for God. And it begins not with us, but with God's love for us. St. Francis says, when God's love acts upon a human soul, it is called grace. When that divine love gives us the strength to do good and love God and neighbor, it is called charity. And when the love of God reaches the point in us where we love not in occasional spurts or aspirations, but habitually, then it is called perfection or devotion. Religious are said to be on the road to perfection because they take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But the means of perfection are not closed to those who live in the world. The wealthy can cultivate the spirit of poverty by thanking God for all the good things he has given them, by joyfully accepting the trials of managing their wealth, and by generously helping those in need. They can place their hearts in heaven even though they have treasure on earth. Soldiers, businessmen, and people in all walks of life can practice obedience by serving their country or their customers, and by letting others have their way in little things throughout their busy day. Married people can practice great chastity by faithfulness to each other, remembering that they share a great sacrament through which they must help each other to become saints. If God grants them children, they have a common mission to teach them to know, love, and serve their Creator. Above all, St. Francis teaches us that we must not think of being devout as having an unpleasant life right now so that we can earn heaven. Life in God, he says, is inviting, happy, and altogether pleasant. If we follow our saint's sound advice, we will find that holiness is well within our reach, and we will never settle for anything less. You may know that St. Francis de Sales was a knight by birth. Among the lives of the saints, we find many stories of great knights who had a conversion. Well, if you read any accurate life of St. Francis de Sales, you will find that he did not convert, per se, from his life in the world to become a priest. St. Francis de Sales became a priest to save the souls of others. As for his own soul, he had been working on saving that from early childhood. When he decided to commence studies for the priesthood, he was already living a devout life in the world. He was a man of prayer and learning, but he was also a man of affairs and an accomplished swordsman and gentleman. Not long before our saintly knight turned missionary went to preach in the Chablais, one of the noble families of Florence, the Martellis, built a summer villa up in the hills just east of the city. It went by the name of Gricigliano. That beautiful name it still keeps today as the seminary of the Institute of Christ the King. The Martelli family coat of arms still hangs gloriously in the villa with its unforgettable motto, Sola virtus vera nobilitas. Virtue alone is true nobility. In St. Francis de Sales' day, in order to be a gentleman, you had to possess a coat of arms. Your family had to be noble. But gentlemen were expected to live up to the virtues embodied in their family crest. The Age of Revolution did away with this state of affairs, which had been in place for centuries. No more gentlemen, no more ladies, only citizens. The furor of that murderous age eventually subsided, and the old vocabulary was not forgotten. Like monsieur in French, gentleman could now be used to refer to any more or less respectable man, or it could be applied to him as a quality. No longer was the title to be reserved to those men who are fortunate enough to possess great titles. It should apply to any man who lives virtuously. That sounds fair enough, but we might well ask if this world we live in, a world which cut off the heads of all nobles, is more virtuous than the one which preceded it. It might be more accurate to say that as the modern world did away with nobility, knighthood, and coats of arms, they soon forgot about practicing the virtues which those things represented. That old world was full of good knights and bad knights, but everyone knew the difference. If you think you might like to restore to our society the practice of the virtues which were once the badge of the Christian gentleman, faith, hope, and charity, prudence, justice, temperance, and courage, there is a nice word that the modern English language would apply to you, quixotic. The word, of course, comes from the main character and title of the novel Don Quixote, that brilliant and delightfully funny book written by Miguel de Cervantes, himself a worthy Christian knight and brave warrior of the Battle of Lepanto. Our English word quixotic has a negative connotation. It generally refers to someone who is foolishly attached to old ideals. Yet who among us has read the story of Don Quixote and not felt a deep sympathy, nay, an unbounded love, for this old knight who sallies forth into his decaying world to right all wrongs? Who among our young men here has not dreamed countless times of being such a knight? It is for this reason that so many young men go to seminary, to love, to serve, and to suffer under Our Lady's mantle, to submit to many years of arduous training with a great band of fellow knights, so that they may all one day go forth into this world which has abandoned all standards of goodness in order to teach people in all walks of life that they must be good at what they are, that their careers, their social engagements, their vacations, their tireless efforts to educate their children All these things must be for them a means to gain heaven. No doubt there are some who would consider our pro-life movement to be quixotic. We are willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause, to stand in a world that calls a child a choice and an old person a burden, and declare we are not just pro-birth and pro-natural death. We stand for everything in between. Standing up for life means fighting for the right of every human being to pursue the devout life, to be born, yes, but to be baptized and confirmed, to receive the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, to get married and share with another person that great sacrament of sacrificial love, and serve as God's ambassadors, inviting new life into this beautiful creation, to become a priest and dispense the mysteries of God to his ever-growing mystical body, or to leave all, even some good things in this world, in order to live entirely for God and enjoy that purest foretaste of paradise that is the religious life. And whatever our vocation in life, to come to a happy death, to be anointed with the sacred oils, to have that priest at our bedside help us to whisper our last words, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. This is no impossible dream. These are the promises of Christ. May St. Francis de Sales intercede for all future priests and religious among us here, all those who give themselves with generosity to marriage and family, and for all who aspire to the joys and glories of the devout life. Amen.